ॐ हरि ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ॐ ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमनाशिने शिवसुताय श्रीवरदमूर्तये नमो नमः ॐ श्रीमन्महागणाधिपतये नमः And this week happens to be a very, very, very special week. Well, because it is the Vasanta Navaratri. These 9 days of spring. We celebrate the 9 days in spring and 9 days in autumn also. Very special. And then in autumn season, autumnal Navaratri, Charan Navaratri, we worship Devi. You know, we worship Devi. We pray to Devi there. But in Vasanta Navaratri, we worship Rama. Especially Rama.
Ramaya Rama Bhadraya Rama Chandraya Vedhase Raghunathaya Nathaya Sitaya Pataye Namaha.
As I told you, all of it to do is japam, special japam.
Om Namo Bhagavate, Om Namo Bhagavate, Shri Sita Lakshmana, Sita Lakshmana, Bharata Shatrughna, Hanumat Sameta, Ramachandra, Ramachandra, Parabrahmane Om Namo Bhagavate Shri Sita Lakshmana Bharata Shatrughna Hanumat Sameta Ramachandra Parabrahmane Om Namo Bhagavate Shri Sita Lakshmana Bharata Shatrughna Hanumat Sameta Ramachandra Parabrahmane Anjananandanam Viram Janaki Shokanashanam Kapishamakshahantaram Vande Lanka Bhayankaram Anjananandanam Viram Janaki Shokanashanam Kapishamakshahantaram Vande Lanka Bhayankaram Buddhir Balam Yasho Dhairyam Nirbhayatvam Arogata Ajadyam Vakpatutvancha Hanumat Smaranat Bhavet Asadhya Sadhaka Swaminne Asadhyam Tavakim Vada Ramaduta Dayasindho Matkaryam Sadhaya Prabho Om Namo Bhagavate Hanumate Anjaneyaya
See, Vasanta Rutu, spring season, is supposed to be the season, you know, it will trigger a lot of emotions. supposed to be. That's why in Vasanta Ruttu, Rama Japam. So, mainly for the whole Ramayanam is for us to understand Dharma, morality, and live it. How Rama lived is called, for Dharma Jnanam, there are three sources of knowledge. One is Shrutihi, one is Smritihi, one is Shishtacharaha. Shruti, Smriti, Shishtachara. Or Mahapurusha, you know, Sangha, we say. So, Shruti, Smriti and this Mahapurusha, Sangha or Shishtachara are three sources of knowledge of Dharma for us. That not only knowledge of the Jnanam, knowledge of the Bhagavan, knowledge of the reality, knowledge of Dharma also, how I should live my life, for which sources of knowledge of Dharma is Shruti, Smriti and Shishtachara, Shishta Purushaha. And how they lived, we have to live. That's how it's said. Once the commitment to the Shastra is there, commitment to study of the Shastram, commitment to pursuit of knowledge is there, anything which distracts me from the way I should live, anything which distracts me from my pursuits, distracts my attention, distracts my mind, I should keep away from. That's what Rama teaches. So here, mainly Rama's commitment to Sita, Sita's commitment to Rama. This also emphasizes, whether people like it in this country, I don't like it, I don't care, I have to tell this. Satyam is Satyam, isn't it? Commitment must be there. First of all, commitment is very important. And distraction is not right. It is improper, it is not all good. It will not affect only one's own life, it will affect the whole, the universal order also. It will contribute for the chaos. That's why mainly Rama Japa. Rama, Rama, Rama. Whole Navaratri must be Rama, 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 Rama. Must be in our mind. That's why Vasanta Navaratri is celebrated specially for Rama Nama Japa. I'm very happy that in school they taught this Rama Japa. Whether they told the meaning or not, that is very important. Masti Santana Narasimha must have thought about it. At least someday it will work. This Japam will work. Really. Really. The great thing. That's why I request a lot of you to do Japam. Okay? Om Namo Bhagavate. Om Namo Bhagavate. Shri Sita Lakshmana.
Shri Sita Lakshmana.
Bharata Shatrughna. Hanumat Sameta. Ramachandra Parabrahmane.
Ramachandra Parabrahmane.
Okay. Om Sadashivasamarambham Vyasa Shankara Madhyamam Asmadacharya Parihantam Vande Guru Paramparam Shruti Smriti Purananam Alayam Karunalayam Namami Bhagavatpada Shankaram Loka Shankaram Shankaram Shankaracharyam Keshavam Badarayanam Sutra-vashya-kritau vande bhagavantau punah punah. Om apyayantu mamangani, apyayantu mamangani, Vak pranas chakshu shrotra matho,
Vak pranas chakshu shrotra matho,
Balam indriyani cha sarvani,
Balam indriyani cha sarvani,
Sarvam brahma upanishadam,
Sarvam brahma upanishadam,
Maham brahma nirakuryam,
Maham brahma nirakuryam,
Mama brahma nirakarot,
Mama brahma nirakarot,
Anirakaranam astu anirakaranam me astu,
Anirakaranam astu anirakaranam me astu,
Tadatmani nirate,
Tadatmani nirate,
Ya Upanishatsu dharmaste mayi santo,
Ya Upanishatsu dharmaste mayi santo,
ते मयि संतो ओम शांति शांति शांति।
We saw this verse in the 7th chapter, 22nd section. We have completed 24th. We have to see there. Okay. The 22nd section, Narada, Sanat Kumara made very, very clear. All one, whatever one does, all one's actions are ultimately for one's own sukham, happiness. And having said that, he himself continued that sukham is something, what is that which is really aspired for through all one's achievements and all one's performances and all one's actions. Sukham is something should be understood, he said. Sukham vijignasitavyam. Sukham vijignasitavyam. One should understand what sukham is. Then Narada asked, sukham vijignase. I want to know what is that sukham? What is that sukham really aspired for through all one's performances, through all one's achievements, through all one's activities? So one has to perform a karma for accomplishing any end. For accomplishing artha, one have to perform actions. For accomplishing kama, for enjoyment of pleasures, one has to perform actions. For accomplishing dharma, even to live a life of dharma, follow dharma, earn punyam, also what one has to perform activities. So performance of action is inevitable, unavoidable. One has to for accomplishing any of the relative ends, artha, kama, dharma, for accomplishing all the ends, one has to perform actions. Karma is the sadhanam for artha, kama, dharma. But what is artha, kama, dharma pursued for? Ultimately for happiness. Artha, kama, dharma. Actions are performed for accomplishing artha, kama, dharma. Artha kama dharmas are pursued ultimately for one's happiness. Through security, through enjoyment of pleasures, through living a life of dharma, what one actually aspires for is happiness, sukham. Therefore, sukham is what? Actually, mokshaha, dukkha nivrittihi sukham. Therefore, the parampurushartha is mokshaha, that is actually indirectly revealed here. Paramapurushartha, the absolute end, ultimate goal is what? Mokshaha, which is nothing but happiness. And that sukham makes it very clear that sukham is something to be understood, not to be attained. Something to be known. Your sukham vijignase. What is that sukham? Then he says, yo vai, now, trayovimshaha khandaha. This 24 and 25th, the 23rd section, 23rd section, the definition, the Brahman is introduced. The definition of Brahman is given in the 24th section. Yo vai bhuma tat sukham, yo vai bhuma tat sukham. I want to memorize these three mantras, 23rd, 24th, 25th mantras had been memorized. Okay? Yo vai bhuma tat sukham, yo vai bhuma tat sukham. It that which is the bhuma is sukham. Bhuma is sukham. What is bhuma? That which is of the nature of infinitude, that which is of the nature of limitlessness, that which is of the nature of fullness is implied by the term bhuma. So you can say absolute reality is of the nature of fullness. Therefore, that which is of the nature of limitlessness is absolute reality. So the word Bhuma implies the reality in terms of its nature of limitlessness. So Bhuma eva sukham. Limitlessness is sukham, happiness. And what is limitlessness? Swarupam. Swarupam of what? Reality. Therefore, Brahma Bhuma, absolute reality, is of the nature of limitlessness, and limitlessness is happiness. Therefore, absolute reality is happiness. Reality and happiness are not two different things. Reality and fullness are not two different things. Just as fire and heat are not two different things, heat is the intrinsic property of the fire, light is the intrinsic property of the inseparable in nature, swarupam of the Surya, sun. Similarly, happiness is inseparable from the absolute reality. Reality and happiness are not two different things. That is what is said here in the first sentence is, yo vai bhuma tat sukham. Yo vai bhuma tat sukham. How do you say limitlessness is absolute reality is implied by the term bhuma? Ever bhuma is sukham. How do you say? Because limitlessness is happiness. Limitlessness is happiness. Infinitude is happiness. How do you say that? Because in limitation there is dukkham. In limitation there is dukkham. In finite thing, in finitude there is dukkham, sorrow. Therefore, limitlessness is happiness. Limitation is sorrow. Limitation is unhappiness. Therefore, limitlessness is happiness. Because how do we say that limitation is unhappiness? So being limited is being bound, and being bound is what? Being unhappy. And being limitless is being free, and being free is being happy. Therefore, happiness is, no, limitlessness is happiness. This also we saw last class. Next, I'm not saying, mantra says, alpe na alpe sukhamasti, na alpe sukhamasti, alpe na sukham na asti, at least alpe pradoshe prabhate. I taught you this morning, remember, alpe sukham na asti, isn't it? Alpe sukham na asti. So there is no sukham in finitude. Because why it is not there? Because sukham means what? Happiness. And happiness is limitlessness. Limitlessness is fullness. And alpam is what? Alpam means finite. How can infinitude be in finite thing? Isn't it? Therefore, he says, alpe sukham nasti. Again he repeats, bhumayeva sukham.
Bhumayeva sukham.
Bhumatveva.
Bhumatveva.
Vijignasitavyaha.
Vijignasitavyaha.
We have seen this also. Therefore, bhuma is absolute reality, which is of the nature of limitlessness, is happiness. Therefore, bhuma has to be understood. May you understand bhuma. One should understand bhuma. Bhuma eva vijignasitavyaha iti, the teacher says. Narada, what did he say? Bhumanam bhagavo vijignase iti. O Lord, I want to know what is bhuma. Bhumanam is objective. Of bhuman shabda. Okay? Bhumanam bhagavo vijignase. I want to know bhuma. This is here ends the 23rd section, which you already seen in the last class. Now, next mantra. Yatra nanyat pashyati. Nanyat shrunoti. Nanyat vijanati. Sabhuma. This is the definition of bhuma. What is bhuma? Bhuma is defined here as yatra anyat na pashyati. Yatra anyatu na shrunoti, yatra anyatu na vijanati, saha bhuma. That is bhuma. That is the absolute reality which is of the nature of infinitude or limitlessness, where one does not hear anything, see anything or know anything. This is the definition. From this definition, how we have to understand here, what is bhuma? It says, this pashyati means seeing. Pashyati, the verb implies, the verb indicates the function of seeing. The shunoti, the verb indicates the function of hearing. Then vijanati, the verb indicates the function of knowing. So seeing, hearing, knowing, three functions indicate what now? Vyavahara, transaction. Three functions indicated by three verbs, imply transactions. I told about jnana vyavaharaha and karma vyavaharaha. Transaction pertaining to knowledge in terms of functions and transactions pertaining to actions. Isn't it? The performance in terms of actions. I said that karta karanam karma is what now? The triputi bhedaha. The performer, performing, performance and the performed action. There is the difference. Then, jnata, jnanam, jnayam. The knower, known, knowledge, difference. It's called triputi bhedaha. This triputi bhedaha means the knower, known, knowledge, division, or the performer, performed, performance, division. These divisions, any transaction involves divisions. There cannot be in transaction without these divisions. Whether it is knowledge-based division or the transaction or a performance-based transaction, any transaction involves divisions. Triputi bhedaha, knower, known, knowledge, divisions are involved. So, when you say na pashyati, na shunoti, na vijanati means Brahman is free from all transactions. Brahman is that which is free from all transactions. So, transactionlessness, actionlessness is the nature of very Swarupam of Brahman. So, transactions are not there means, it implies what now? Transactions are not there. So, triputi, the threefold differences are not there. Divisions are not there. Which means, so Brahman being not subject to transaction, Brahman being free from transactions, implies. So now we can, what's the first verb we have to remember? Avyavaharyam. Avyavaharyaha bhuma. Triputi bheda rahitaha. So avyavaharyaha. Once you say triputi bheda rahitaha, free from transactions means what now? It is free from divisions. So, Brahman, absolute reality implied by the term bhuma, is of the nature of divisionlessness. Indivisible, undivided, divisionless. So, divisionlessness, next, nirvikalpaha. So, bhuma triputi bheda rahitaha, bhuma avyavaharyaha, then bhuma, you say what now? Here, nirvikalpaha. Free from divisions. Once divisions are not there, divisions are not there means immediately the free from time and space. Division comes means time and space comes. I explained to you very clearly last time, in deep sleep state, there is no knower, known knowledge divisions in deep sleep state. Triputi bheda is not there in deep sleep state. When there is no triputi bhedaha, when there is no this knower, no knowledge difference, division in deep sleep state, is also not, what is not there? There is no time and space. So, divisions imply the time and space, and divisionlessness imply the timelessness and the spatial limitlessness. Okay? So, Brahman is that which is free from spatial limitation and time limitation. Therefore, it is free from object limitation also. So, nirvikalpam, from nirvikalpaktvam, we understand other swarupam. What is that? Desha kala vastu aparichinnam, aparichinnaha bhuma. Absolute reality is of the nature of limitlessness in terms of time, space and object. Is it clear now? You have to remember all the step by one by one. So, three vyavaharas are not there. Any vyavahara is not there. No transaction is there. Therefore, avyavaharyaha. So, transactions are not there, which means it is free from threefold divisions. Divisions are not there means what? Time and space are not there. Therefore, it is of the nature of limitlessness. It's free from time, space, object limitations. Nirvikalpam. Okay? Understand, that is Brahma. Okay? So, that which is of the nature of limitlessness is Brahma, Bhuma. Okay? Now he says, Yatra anyat pashyati, anyat shunoti, anyat vijanati, tadalpam. Now next sentence, immediately he says, what is finite then? What do you, if infinitude, that which is of the nature of infinitude, limitlessness is, you know, free from limitations, you know, you say, what is alpam then? What is a finite thing? He says, Bhuma is of the nature of limitlessness. What is alpam then? He says, Yatra anyat pashyati, yatra anyat shrunoti, yatra anyat vijanati. Where one knows, where one sees, where one listens, that is finite. So anything which is involved in these no functions is what? Subject to division. It's a finite in nature. Anything which is subject, which has these functions, is finite in nature. What is that which is involved in functions and activities that is finite? Okay? So, if a being, any being, anything which is involved in functions, in activities, is finite in nature. Okay?
Yo vai bhuma, tadamritam.
So yo vai bhuma tadamritam. So that which is the absolute reality, which is of the nature of limitlessness, infinitude means amritam, that is immortal. Immortal means what? Indestructible. Indestructible means what? It is of the nature of timelessness. Amritam, immortality, implies timelessness. Okay. Here, Atha Yadalpam Tanmartyam. Now, anything which is finite means what? That is subject to mortality. Tadmartyam. Yet that which is finite, subject to mortality. Okay. Now, let me stop here and let me take, I want to tell you one thing. What is the crux word, the swarupam, you have to remember here. See, absolute reality is of the nature of divisionlessness. Reality, which implied by the term Bhuma or Brahma, the very words tell you what now? Nature of the reality. Meaning what? Free from divisions. Divisionlessness. Indivisible, division, undivided, indivisible, divisionless, partless, whole is the reality. Isn't it? Nirvikalpam. Better learn this word. Nirvikalpaha bhuma. Nirvikalpam Brahma, nirvikalpaha bhuma. When you say, here divisionlessness is the swarupam of the reality. Isn't it clear? But here, doubt may come. Know why? The word nirvikalpam is used to mean that two things are meant by these two words. The word nirvikalpaha Nirvikalpa is used, but Nirvikalpa Avastha is also there. Nirvikalpam Brahmana Bhuma also is there, isn't it? Nirvikalpam Brahma, Nirvikalpa Avastha. So many people mistake this Nirvikalpa Avastha. We have to be very, very clear. What is Nirvikalpa Avastha? Or Nirvikalpaka Avastha and Nirvikalpam Brahma. When you say Nirvikalpam Brahma, Nirvikalpakam Brahma, or Nirvikalpakaha Bhuma, we mean the reality, nature of the Vastu, nature of the reality, Swarupam of the reality is divisionlessness. When I say Swarupam, what does it mean? Divisionlessness is something which does not come, does not go, does not disappear. That which is always. Swarupam means what? Divisionlessness, Nirvikalpatvam is the Swarupam of the Bhuma. Means it does not come, does not go. It's always that, isn't it? Swarupam itself means what? Nature means that which doesn't come and go. Okay. What about the Nirvikalpaka Avastha? Avastha means a state of mind. Nirvikalpaka Avastha is a state of mind, condition of the mind. When the mind is non-functional, passive, inactive, defunct, condition of the mind is what? Nirvikalpaka Avastha. So, Vedanta students should be interested in Nirvikalpaka Avastha or Nirvikalpaka Swarupa Jnanam. What should we be interested in? But we all get interested in Nirvikalpaka Avastha sometimes. Know why? The yogis will be interested in Nirvikalpaka Avastha. Because in Nirvikalpaka Avastha also, no, it's a condition of the, I told you, it's a passive, inactive, non-functional state of the mind is Nirvikalpaka Avastha. And when do we have? Every day, in the daytime or nighttime, if you fall asleep, you have Nirvikalpaka Avastha. Isn't it? The deep sleep state is of the mind is what? In everyday Nirvikal deep sleep state, there is Nirvikalpaka Avastha. Then suppose somebody dies, until you are born, what you have is what? Nirvikalpaka Avastha. But you cannot talk about Nirvikalpaka Avastha, what you experience after the death. When you come back, you will be different body, so you won't remember anything. When you wake up from the same body, you will remember the Nirvikalpaka Avastha. Understand? Then, in Mahapralaya, when the whole Jagat dissolves, then also you will have Nirvikalpaka Avastha. But we can't come back and talk about it. But in Samadhi also, when people are given to the practice of meditation, you also can have what? Nirvikalpaka Samadhi also you have Avastha. The Nirvikalpaka Avastha, the non-functional, inactive, passive condition of defunct condition of the mind, state of mind, one can have, one can experience in Samadhi, in sleep, in after death and resolution. In Laya, Pralaya, no, Mahapralaya, and also what? Samadhi. So, those are all natural ones. Every day, if in sleep, you have the Nirvikalpaka Avastha is there. Nirvikalpaka Avastha means what? The non-dual experience. Non-dual experience, divisionless experience. Experience of the divisionlessness which you have every day in sleep is called what? Nirvikalpaka Avastha. Experience of division, knower, known knowledge, divisionlessness is called Nirvikalpaka Avastha you have in sleep. The same you have in Samadhi also. What is the difference here? In sleep, when you have Nirvikalpaka Avastha, Nirvikalpaka Avastha means experience of divisionlessness which you have in sleep, in deep sleep state, is something naturally happens. But Samadhi, Nirvikalpaka Avastha, you work for it. You practice meditation for long time and you have this experience. That's only difference. But now the question comes, are we interested in this Nirvikalpaka Avastha? When you say it's a state of mind, it is not permanent. Is it clear? It comes, so Swarupam is different. So Nirvikalpaka, experience of the divisionlessness, which is state of mind, we are not interested in. Because it is time bound. It comes and goes. The state will change. Though it won't be there permanently. And second thing, why it is irrelevant for a Vedanti? We don't need to work hard to have that Samadhi experience. Why it is not relevant for us, relevant for a Vedanti? Because it is not a Purushartha. Nirvikalpaka Samadhi, Nirvikalpaka Avastha is not our pursuit. It's not a goal for us to be accomplished. It is not even Artha goal. It is not the Kama goal. It is not the Dharma goal. It is not even the karma, which is a means to accomplish any goal. Because in sleep, you cannot do anything also. Isn't it? So it is not a means to accomplish any goal. It is not a means to, it is neither the goal nor the means to accomplish the goal. Nirvikalpaka Avastha is not your goal. Nirvikalpaka Avastha is not a means to accomplish the goal. Time-bound goals. Relative ends. Okay? Nirvikalpaka Avastha definitely is not moksha. Why? Moksha is another word for happiness. Which is this sarupam. It is not the avastha. It's not a time-bound condition. Isn't it? Therefore, it's not the moksha. Is it jnanam then? No. It is not the means for accomplishing moksha also. It is neither the relative ends, nor the means to accomplish the ends. So, nirvikalpaka avastha is neither the means nor the end. Okay? Can you say nirvikalpaka avastha is a means of knowledge? No. What third point is what? Nirvikalpaka avastha is not a means of knowledge also. Why? What is the means of knowledge? We have six means of knowledge. Sixfold means of knowledge we have. Pratyaksha pramanam. Then anumana pramanam. Upamana pramanam. No? Arthapatti pramanam. Anupalabdhi pramanam. Shabda pramanam. Perception, inference, comparison, presumption, absence and word, shabda. We have three, sixfold means of knowledge. And there, it is not that list of enumeration of this means of knowledge. We don't have nirvikalpaka avastha as a means of knowledge. So, it is not the pramanam. Third point. It is not the goals. It is not any of the goals. It is not any of the means to accomplish the goals. Or it is not even the pramanam. Okay. Now, suppose if we say it's a state of the mind. In that state of mind, what else is there? Consciousness is there. In the state of mind, nirvikalpaka avastha, there is consciousness. There is atma, isn't it? Then can atma, what is atma? Atma obtaining in nirvikalpaka samadhi? Is it a pramanam? No. Atma also is not a pramanam. Atma also is not a pramanam. Means of knowledge. Therefore, Nirvikalpaka Samadhi has no relevance for a Vedanta student. And which you have to work hard to have that experience. Is it clear? For Nirvikalpaka Avastha, we are not interested. But Nirvikalpa Atma we are interested in. Nirvikalpaka Bhuma we are interested in. Because reality is of the nature of limit divisionlessness. And we are interested in discovering the Swarupam of our Brahman being divisionlessness. We are not interested in the Kaswarupa Jnanam is Mokshaha for us. So divisionlessness, Nirvikalpaka Brahma is our goal. Why? Knowing Brahman is Moksha, Purushartha. Nirvikalpaka Brahma or Bhuma is our goal. But Avastha is not our end, not even the means. Okay? Something I want to tell you, important thing. Okay, finished. Now, next sentence. Now he is asking, Bhagavah kasmin patishthita iti, kasmin pratishthita iti, saha Bhagavah kasmin patishthita iti. This is a question asked by Narada. See, yad alpam tad matan martyam, until then, the definition of the Bhuma is made presented very clearly. We understood absolute reality is of the nature of divisionlessness, which is free from threefold differences, free from time, space, object limitations. Very clear. Okay. Now the question is, where is that Brahman established? Kas Bhuma, Saha Bhuma. Saha is a relative pronoun implying Bhuma. Saha Bhuma kasmin patishthitaha. Where is that reality located? Where is that reality established? Where is it supported? Isn't it? Where is it supported? Why? Because everything in this universe is supported by something else. This house is means, the house is what now? The roof is standing on the walls. Wall supporting the roof. And a wall supported by the earth. Isn't it? Everything supported by everything else. There is a physically also supported, figuratively also supported. Supported means sustained also. Protected also. So protection, sustenance, support. All the words you have to understand. Physical support, no, figurative support, isn't it? So here, kasmin pratishtitaha bhagavaha. What is that? Where is that Bhuma, absolute reality, supported? Who is asking? Narada. And what is the answer? Sve mahimni yadi va na mahimni. So sve mahimni means, Sve mahimni tishtati means it remains supported by itself. It means it is self-existent. Absolute reality is self-existent and it is of the nature of very existence. It is self-existent, it is self-supportive and it is supports itself. Supported by itself. Is it? It remains. It means it remains independent. So, okay. Sve mahimni tishtati means it remains, it is self-existent, it is self-supportive, it is supported by its own itself. Then he says, va, otherwise I can say, na mahimni. Na mahimni means what? It is not supported by anything else. It is not sustained by anything else. It is not lent existence by anything else. It is not protected by anything else. It is self-protective, self-protected, self-supportive, self-supported. It is not supported by anything else. Which means it is independent. The first answer he gives, Bhuma is self-dependent. Second answer he gives, Bhuma is independent. See, Na Mahimni means Bhuma is independent. Bhuma is not, Bhuma does not remain supported by anything else. Okay, Bhuma is not supported by anything else. Bhuma is independent. And the first concept is what? Bhuma is self-dependent. Self-dependent and independent. Have you got it now? The two words are used. Okay. Suppose now Upanishad itself assumes a question. Why do you give two answers? Bhuma is self-dependent, you say. Bhuma is independent also, you say. Why do you say that? It supports itself, you say. It is not supported by anything else also, you say that. Why do you say that? So, for which the answer is given in the next. See, ga is there. We have to take this go. Go ashwamiha. Go ashwamiha. Mahima.
Ityachakshate.
Hastiranyam. Dasabharyam. Kshetrani. Ayatanani. Iti. Na aham. Evam bravimi. Iti. Ha. Vacha. So he says, now he gives example here. Because the teacher gave two answers. What is the first answer? Sve mahimni pratishthitaha. Bhuma sve mahimni pratishthitaha means Bhuma remains supporting itself. Bhuma is supported by itself. It is self-supportive, self-dependent, self-existent. What's the, na mahimni means what? It is not supported by anything else. It is not dependent on anything else. Means it is independent of everything else. So self-dependent, independent. Look at this. Self-dependent and independent. Self-dependence and independence. Why do you give two answers? Why can't you say only one answer? Isn't it? So now he says, it's not only physically, the example he gives. Ga ash, whenever you use the term support, because the student asks the question, where is this Brahman Pratishthitaha? Kasmin Bhuma Pratishthitaha. The question was asked, where is this Bhuma Pratishthitaha? Where is it supported? Where is it existent? Is it? Because the question was established, the question was asked, I have to give these two answers. Because whenever the word support, sustain, all these verbs, support, sustain, when you come across, naturally two things are involved. Supporter, supported. Sustainer, sustained. The two division comes. Isn't it here? So here, just as what now we say, there's a person who cannot walk at all. Why? He is on crutches. There's a person standing there with his crutches. Then another person, he walks support of the crutches. And another person he moves with the wheelchair, supported by the wheelchair. His movement supported by the wheelchair. For one person, movement supported by his own crutches. Another person stands on his leg, walks using his own legs. Understand? So here, who is the supporter for this person who is standing on his own legs? His own legs. So we can say, here the person supported by the wheelchair, person supported by his crutches, and the person who by his own legs. When you say the person supported by his own legs, what does it mean? He is self-dependent. We use for support. But because the legs are not something different from him, therefore the person who is supported by his own legs means he is self-supportive, he is self-protected, he is self-dependent. The person supported by the crutches, what now? Dependent on the crutches. Crutches are separable from him. Crutches are separable from the person. Wheelchair is separable from the person. The legs are not separate from the person. Then you call him independent. In the same way, Is it clear now? If not, when you say two words, self-dependent and independent mean the same. Self-dependent, self-dependence and independence, or self-supportive and unsupported mean the same. There's no difference. Okay? That I'm not saying, here he says. He gives the example next month, next mantra. Go Ashwamiha. Mahima. In this context, the word Mahima means support, dependence. Okay? So, Go Ashwamiha. See, now the cow, Go means cow. Cow is supportive. How does the cow support? For maintenance, isn't it? For lives. The figurative support. The cow supporters means what? Cows help us live our lives. Remember, cows are supportive. We are dependent on the cattle wealth such as cows, etc. for our living. So cows, ashram, the horses are also what? Some example, don't take it too seriously. Examples are given. Just as cows are supportive, cows help us, support us. No, then horses support us. Same way, hasti. Hasti means elephant. Elephants support us, help us. Then hiranya means gold. Gold is, when we have some gold, the gold also what helpful. To live our lives, for us to live our lives, all these things help us. They support you. Then dasaha. Dasa bharyam means dasaha bharya cha dasa bharyam. You want samasa, that is. Okay, dvandu, samahara dvandu samasa. Okay, I don't want to go to the grammar and all that. So, dasaha means a servant. We are dependent on our servants sometimes. Dependence involves what now? We are dependent on wealth in terms of gold, etc. We are dependent on animals such as elephants. We are dependent on cattle such as cows, horses, etc. We are dependent on the servants sometimes for our things, to get the things done. We cannot do independently without the help of the servants. Bharya, so no servant available, at least wife is there. Wife all this for what? We are dependent on wife, or sometimes in India, okay? Wife has to cook. We depend on wife for food and water and all this. That's a different thing. Not only for, but many other things also. Not just the emotional companionship also. Okay, different. That's why better have Shastra as your companion. Okay, a different thing. So, Bharya is what now? Wife. Dependence on wife. Dependence on service. See, dependence on many factors. We live our lives depending on many factors. For livelihood, we are dependent on food. For food, we are dependent on the elements, in the nature. Prakriti Mata, we depend for thirst, to quench our thirst, we are dependent on the water. We are dependent, for livelihood, we are dependent on so many things. For living our life, we are dependent on so many factors. So he gives some example. Go, Ashwamiha, then Hasti Hiranyam, Dasa Bharyam, servants, wife. Oh my God, we are dependent. In fact, life is what? Life is interdependence. We are mutually, all of us are dependent on all of us for everything. Life is interdependence. Our kshetrani, we are dependent on what? Even our fields. Mother Earth has to yield. Kshetrani means what? The cultivable, fertile lands are called kshetrani. We are dependent, of course, we are definitely dependent on lands for food. Where will the hanging gardens? Now, we can nice idea. You know, like in Middle East country, they work very hard to have some plants. You know how much they have to spend a lot of money, lots of riches in terms of oil they have to sell to make money to have some useless plants on there. Okay? For us to have food, where to go? My God, Kshetrani. We are dependent on Mother Earth. Is it? All our lands for our food. Then Ayatanani, all for some abodes. Ayatanani, we are dependent on the house, home, building. We need accommodation for us to live. So we are dependent on so many factors for living this life. This is called dependence. Okay? This is called dependence. Which means for our protection, for relative protection, for our living our lives, we are dependent on many factors. There is dependence. We are supported, we are sustained, we are looked after, we are taken care of by many things in the world. So, is it clear now? It's called figuratively we are supported, not only physically. Therefore, like difference is there. Then you can say dependence. The one who is dependent on is different from that which is depended upon. Then you can say dependent. Whereas Bhuma is what? Is in no, when you say independent or self-dependent, mean the same. There's no difference. Because you asked the question, I have to tell you this. Aham evam na bravimi. Aham evam na bravimi. I am not saying just as all these things support our lives. No? Not, I'm not, I don't say in that way. It is self-sustained. It is self-existence. It is self-existent, self-supportive, supporting itself. Means absolute reality is not dependent on anything for its existence, for its sustenance, for its support. Why? Existence is the very swarupam. Everything else is dependent on Bhuma reality for their existence, for its existence. Whereas reality is independent of everything else. Just as all whole ocean is dependent on the water for its existence, the whole jagat is dependent on the reality for its existence. Whereas reality is independent of the whole jagat, just as water is independent of the form and name for its existence. Okay? That's what is implied here. Anyaha hi anyasmin patishthitaha. Anyaha hi anyasmin patishthitaha. See, everything else is supported by everything else. A given thing is supported by some other thing. Every given object, every given thing in this universe is supported by everything else, something else. There's no object, no form, no name, nothing in this universe exists here independently without supported, sustained, helped, protected by other things. There's nothing unprotected here, nothing which is independent here, nothing which is unsupported here. Everything else in this universe is what? Supported. Everything else is protected. Everything else is sustained, looked after. Therefore, everything else in this universe is dependent. Okay? Whereas, what is one thing which is not dependent on anything else? That which is self-dependent, independent, self-existent is Bhuma. Okay? Fine.